Hello and welcome to Parking Thought. My name is Jacob and I'm glad you're here today. Joining us for this podcast is a returning guest. In fact, I think the first guest we ever had on the podcast, and he is joining us with his wife. We have two folks on here who are fellow podcasters, and they're going to tell us about what they podcast about and all of the fun things that they're doing. I am so pleased to introduce you guys to these folks again as a team. So, hey, you two, why don't you guys tell us who you are and what your podcast is about, and then let's get talking.
Hey, Jacob, it's good to be here. For those of you who have listened to the Parking Thought before, you've heard my voice before on Running with the Buffalo. This is Jacob Bateman, and join with me is my beautiful wife, Melody.
Hello.
And so, we're coming on to talk about our podcast that we just recently started about a month or two ago. It's called Trail to 100. As we went out, we've decided to run a 100-mile race, and we found that as we were researching about running a 100-mile race, we found that there wasn't a lot of stuff out there for people who are just barely getting into ultra running. And we decided, my wife here, Melody, is a physical therapist assistant as well as a massage therapist, and I'm an x-ray tech, so we have a little bit of background in healthcare and how the body works. So we decided that we were going to create a podcast documenting how an average person gets into ultra running and what it's like.
Right, and we're not crazy elite runners who are training, you know, 20 hours a week. We also, like Jacob said, we have jobs, we're married, we have other hobbies, we have friends and family, we have lots of other stuff going on. So we talk about how to train for 100 miles, how to get into it, what our experience is like, what we're learning, and how we do it while also just living a normal life and going to work and cleaning the house and doing the things that normal people do.
So the goal is to just finish the race. So we're just out there trying to document our experience, what works, what doesn't work, what struggles we come across, what breakthroughs we make. Just out there every day trying to get to that race, which is coming August of 2020, fingers crossed.
Yeah, praying that it doesn't get canceled.
Anyway, so that's a little bit about us. Jacob, what questions can we answer for you?
So I'm curious, there's lots of 100-mile races. You wouldn't think there was, but there are. What's the name of the one that you guys are training for?
We're doing the Ute 100. So we picked it because it is one of the harder 100-mile races, and it also is one of the prettiest 100-mile races. We decided if we're going to do 100 miles, we weren't going to do the easiest 100 miles because we kind of felt like that was cheating. We're like, we're going to pick, if we're going to do 100 miles, we're going to do a challenging one.
And so this is actually known as, we live in Utah, it's the highest ultra marathon in Utah. And I think it's one of like top, I think it's the second highest average elevation ultra marathon in the U.S. There's one in Denver or Colorado area, somewhere around Denver, that tops this one elevation wise. So yeah, it's I think it's about 20,000 feet of climbing total. It's in the mountains right above Moab, the Manti LaSalle Mountains. So you get views of arches and that and canyon lands along the way.
Oh, it looks so pretty.
So as part of your training, are you going to spend any time on the exact trails or parts of them, or are you guys staying local to where you're at?
We're staying local because like we said, we're pretty busy. We don't have a lot of time to travel. So luckily we live at the base of some mountains and we spend most of our time just at the mountains in our backyard. So
like today I went on an 8-mile run. It had 1,500 feet of elevation gain on it just from this trail, like a couple miles away from our house.
So I'm a little jealous where I'm at. I'm in a valley here in the Boise area. And when I go for a run, the elevation gain is close to nil just because I just jump out of the house and I'll go for a run. And so it's like, hey, you had 10 feet of elevation gain. So when you're talking about this extreme elevation gain, to me, it's like, whoa, dude, that's like significant, you know? So,
it is. I actually, running on a in a flat level area for a long period of time drives me nuts now.
It's actually harder. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think climbing and descending is easier than just running flat forever.
Absolutely is. We used to have a 7% grade trail where I was at in Germany, and I used to run that. The army said, oh, you only have to run it once, go up and down, and you're done. And it was like, it wasn't that challenging. And I ended up running it twice in the amount of time a lot of other guys would go up and down at once, right? Because it would, they weren't used to it. They wanted to stay flat. And it's like, you stay flat and it changes your ability to cope with, you know, the course changes that happen.
Yeah, for sure. It's harder mentally too. It's just nice to get that change up when you're going up and down hills.
Yep. Agreed. So this is cool. So, you know, one of the things I love asking guests when we get them on, and so let's do this. This is the traditional-ish part of Parking Thought, is I ask them to tell me something they're grateful for that other people might not notice, right? So tell me something you're grateful for that you think others might not notice. And while you guys are thinking of that, I want to tell the audience that if they want to send in an MP3 file or any sort of audio file to jacob@parkingthought.com, I will gladly piece those together and include things that they are grateful for. You know, when we're sitting here in this quarantine kind of environment, there are lots of things that we end up finding that we're grateful for. We come to the terms with our reality and then end up finding things that we're grateful for. And if you want to share those, you have an outlet on this show, feel free to email me, jacob@parkingthought.com, with something that you're grateful for. Introduce yourself by your name and then let us know what it is you're grateful for and then why. What's the story behind that? And we'll gladly share that on the air. All right, so while I've introduced that to the wider audience, let's go back to Jacob and Melody and let's say, what are you guys grateful for? Do you have something off the top of your head that you might want to share with the audience?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this the last couple days. The weather's been all over the place lately here in Utah. There's been a lot of rain. There's even been some snow. And then today was sunshine, blue skies. And I'm grateful for changing weather. Because as I'm out on these runs, whether it's around town or in the mountains, as the weather's changing, the beauty changes with it. And with the cold comes the snow, comes the ice, and just a different kind of beauty. The snow on the pine trees out on a run. Today it was the blue skies, it was the sun, it was being able to see across the valley as I was up in the mountains. Just that here I could see the same thing over and over and over again, but each time that it can be just the kind of beauty is just completely different. And so I'm grateful for the weather and God's beauty and how with the changing weather and changing seasons, how we can have our breath taken away or just stopped on right there in our steps, you know, as the sun sets, as the sun rises, when the sun's at midday. It's just, you know, it's pretty amazing to look at God's creations all around us.
I love that. I'd have to agree with you. I mean, that's not the thing I'm thankful for. I am thankful for that. But even today on my run, I just remember coming around a corner and I just stopped and there's just this little tiny waterfall and these big rocks. And I just love those moments where you just stop and you're like, wow, that's beautiful. But I guess what I'm especially grateful for right now is I'm just grateful for my body. I guess sometimes I get really frustrated at my body because it doesn't go as fast as I want it to. And I'm injured right now. I'm dealing with my hip kind of hurts and I have some left Achilles tendonitis and it's really driving me crazy because I want to go faster. I want to push harder. But the thing is, our bodies are so smart. They tell us when we need to slow down and our bodies tell us when we need to go faster. And these injuries that I'm, you know, feeling right now, it's just my body saying, Melody, you've been pushing a little bit too hard and you need to slow down. And I'm actually grateful for that. I'm grateful that we have bodies that tell us when to push it and when to slow down. And I'm also grateful that we have bodies that can adapt and that we can train so we can do the things that we love to do and that we can get up into the mountains and see these beautiful views. So That's what I'm grateful for.
That's awesome. You know, one of the things I'm grateful for is I'm not as active in running as I used to be. But I'm grateful for the memories. You know, you guys are talking about running in Utah. And one of my favorite memories was when I had to do a orienteering land navigation course, right? So it was find different points out in the wilderness type of thing. And we were at Camp Williams. And so it's in Utah. It's over by, I think it's Draper, wherever the that area. And so I'm out there and it's me and I've got to go find these points. And so I map my route and figure out which trail I can take to get me close. And then I'd have to go off trail, you know, to be able to get to the point where I could find this marker and then write down the number on the marker. And I'm out there doing that. I'm running and it's probably like an 8 mile run by the time you're done with it. It's it was a lot of work and you're wearing your full combat gear, right? So I'm wearing boots and I'm wearing boots and all that stuff. So I go and I do this run and I scared up some deer and they ran with me. And it was really just amazing to kind of have the deer. I mean, they were obviously fast and ahead of me, you know, but it was one of those, like, I rounded a corner. They were surprised to see me. I was surprised to see them. And it was like, okay, it felt like we were running on the trail together for a little bit. And that memory remains with me, right? So you guys are creating these neat memories where they're very internally focused. They're beautiful. They're part of all of your surroundings and how you're connected to it. And those don't go away, right? There will be things that will prompt those memories later on in life. And so part of what you're investing in isn't just your health right now. It's that kind of mental, you know, exercise and mental zen and clarity that's going to be a part of how you see life going forward. And it's one of the reasons why ultra marathoners, when you look at them, it's like they generally have their act together. You guys, maybe not so much. I've listened to a few episodes.
You know, I won't get into this story very much, but your story did bring to memory one time on one of my runs. I actually ran with a dog who had a chicken in its mouth. So, anyways,
that's cool.
For another day, I guess, though. He ran me, though, just like those deer ran with you, Jacob. That dog ran with me, and yep. I actually started getting concerned. I'm like, I don't know if I should try to get the chicken out of this dog's mouth or what. But anyways.
Well, because it had the chicken, it wasn't after you, so I would have, you know, just kind of let things be.
That's what I decided to do.
And so I'm joking around, right, for the audience's sake, but I'm kind of serious. You guys are you've been married for about a year, year and a half, 2 years, somewhere in that zone. And this is putting a lot of stress on your relationship. It's also giving both of you guys an outlet. And you can hear that in the episodes that I've listened to. I've missed the last two. So if there's some revelation about how life is all magical now, and I've missed that in the last one, I'm sorry. But it's really put some stress and strain. So when you guys introduced yourself in your podcast about saying how you're just the regular folks trying to get ready to do something like this 100 miler, it really is true. And it's so comforting to have that voice out there in the world right now and to be able to listen to folks who are like, I got mad because Jacob was faster than me. And then, you know, like some of those things are real emotions. And I think it's great that you guys are sharing them and trying to be healthy about them. What was it like when you started the podcast and you realized you were going to have to do that? You were going to have to be that level of honest with your audience. Were you guys scared about it or did it just kind of appear?
We were apprehensive about it.
For sure. And it's also scary. First of all, it's scary making a goal like this, but then to put it out there and tell the whole world, okay, we're running 100 miles now. Now everybody knows. And if we don't do it, it's going to be kind of disappointing. and being with the audience and with each other is hard because what we're doing is a really, really hard thing, and it does put a lot of stress on our marriage. And not gonna lie, there's a lot of podcasts where, you know, maybe we get on and they're like, welcome to Chill Up 100, right after we just had a big fight because we were messing with the audio and one of us is really tired.
it's hard, but you know what, this is the reason we did this podcast is to show people that this is hard, and there's a lot of mistakes that are going to be made, but you know that we can overcome this stuff. And
I think ultimately it's made us stronger, and it will keep making us stronger as we learn to, you know, get through this and do this hard thing together. Yeah. Just like training for our first marathon together, I feel like that made us stronger. Doing our 50 mile together, that made us stronger.
Yeah.
It's good to do hard things together.
We have our little tiffs, but we work our way through them.
Yeah.
What you guys are doing is you're choosing to do something hard, and you were going to do something hard anyway. The first few years of marriage, and even the years of marriage I'm at now, I think we're hitting our 20 years, right? Is, I should know that. And it's later this month. Thanks for the reminder. But what you're doing here is you're choosing to do something hard, and you were going to do something hard anyway. At least you made this one your choice, right? This is something you're walking into, your eyes are open, but it doesn't take away the challenge. It's still, you know, there's plenty of surprises, there's plenty of things to adjust to. I love your guys' honesty. So I love listening to you guys while I'm running, because to me it's like, oh, hey, this mile didn't feel as good as I wanted to. That's okay. Keep going. You know, it gives me that refreshing perspective to realize that not everybody is Scott Jurek. And for those in the audience who aren't aware of the reference there, Scott Jurek is the guy who currently holds the record, or at least I think he does, holds the record for the Appalachian Trail. He ultra-marathoned the Appalachian Trail a few years back, and which finishes off at Mount Katahdin, which is a huge climb up in Maine, and you know, did an absolutely amazing job. But guys like Scott Jurek get all the press, and they're not the only ones that do 100 milers. What Jacob and Melody are doing is kind of that part of the folks who finish, right, and what they do to prepare, that are the folks that don't get any press. And so their podcast shines the light on what this process is and the thought process. And I love your guys' honesty. Please don't change that. I think it's wonderful, and it's one of the reasons I do listen, is because it's fun to hear as you guys are working through what you've chosen to do. So thank you guys for keeping that up. It's really great to hear that on the show.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, it really has been fun doing the show. We're excited to keep it going.
Well, I think it helps to, you know, you're more likely to accomplish a goal that you share verbally. And now that you've shared it, you know, it'll make it easier, as long as you're not over pushing yourself and getting hurt, right? I think you guys can really, really do a go at this. I'm rooting for you. I'm a fan.
Thank you.
Know.
Well, thanks. We appreciate it. We need all the support we can get.
For sure.
So, you know, one of the other things that people who might want to get active would be thinking about, right? And you guys are kind of doing this. It's not medical advice on your show or anything like that. But it's the, you know, what are some basic steps that we could take as the weather's getting better here in North America, you know, to kind of start something and set a goal? I mean, you guys are at the point where you're setting your goal for 100 miles, and you were reasonably in shape by the time you guys did your first 5K. But if I was going to go from 0 to 5K, right, what sort of attitude would make me the most successful in that space? Because I think the physical stuff will come after the attitude's there. What's the right attitude for a challenge that might feel overwhelming?
I feel like the biggest thing is consistency. Just do something every day to get you closer to your goal. And it's about baby steps. Even if all you do is a 5-minute walk every single day, start with that. You want to set big goals that are exciting, but then also set little goals within that big goal. Like I said, like a 5-minute walk every single day, so you're not overwhelmed. The biggest mistake that runners make is they're like, they make this goal, okay, I'm gonna go from couch to 5K, I'm super excited, and they start running, and they run too hard, and they run too much, they hurt themselves, and they get burnt out. The trick is to just do something little every single day, and don't push it too hard, and don't beat yourself up if you're not as fast as the other guy. Chances are, if if you're going from couch to 5K, when you get going, you're going to be walking a lot, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's a lot safer for your brain and for your body, for your mental health. You just don't push it too hard. Just do something little every single day that gets you closer to your goal, and don't get discouraged. Just take it at your own pace and be grateful for where you're at now. And always remember to stop and turn around and see how far you've come from where you started. I think that's important too.
And I'm just going to chime in. You got to make it fun. You got to, like, for me, we're hitting about the halfway mark in our training right now. And the past couple weeks, I've hit a hard wall where I'm just out there doing miles to do miles. And I really don't want to be out there. And most of the time I've loved running, but I've discovered in the past couple weeks, I just started exploring more. Taking new trails. Like today I was bushwhacking for part of my trail because I went to an area I've never been to, and it turns out the trail ended on me and I needed to find a new trail. So I got out the map and I bushwhacked for about half mile through thick brush, but it was fun. One day for my training, I just decided to hike up a canyon. I knew I wouldn't be running much of it because it was really steep, but I was like, you know what? It's going to get me elevation. It's going to get me out there doing something. Like, making it fun is the key for me. Exploring. I love exploring. Just, you know, having fun with a workout plan, or, you know, doing things you normally want to do. You know, enjoy the experience is what I'm going to say. Make it an experience.
I agree 100%. There's zero point in doing it if it's not fun and if you don't enjoy it. Why would you do it if you don't enjoy it?
Cool. I love that advice, but I also love your guys' honesty with, you know, just listen to yourself. So I've gotten really good at lying to myself. I'm, you know, the lies you always tell. I'm the best looking person in the room. I haven't lost my hair, and I'm not about to turn 42,
and
right?
Always, like, you know, I've always thought that about you.
Oh, thanks. See, what I heard is you always think I've been good at lying to myself. Anyway, so it's those lies that we tell to ourselves that aren't really doing us a whole lot of good, right? It's the, hey, this is where my body's at right now. I'm not able to just jump up and do, you know, a 10K like I used to be able to do. The 10K for me was just like breathing. It would be like, okay, I'll finish, no problem, you know, and just boom, I was off. And then it was me listening to the sound of my pitter-patter feet, you know, hitting the trail and hitting other things. And I had those bushwhacking moments. I have a pair of compression socks that are perfect for bushwhacking when you're wearing shorts and you don't want to get your calves and, you know, your shins all scraped up. Oh,
for sure. Yep. You need those. I had mine on today.
Yep. So it's a $100 pair of compression socks. Totally worth it for that sort of environment. Because they really are protective. I was very surprised. The fabric is very protective. But, you know, as I listen to you guys, I feel so encouraged listening to your podcast to get up and do more. And I really love it. For me, I've had some gear that helps me out with that. The watch and the AirPods are kind of cool because then it's just the watch doing my audio, which is kind of fun. When you guys run, do you listen to music? And what is that like? What are some of the things you do to help get you in that zone?
You know, I used to be a music guy. I love country music, and I still occasionally will listen to my country music as I run, but it's not as nowadays. I listen to audiobooks. I listen to Parking Thought. I listen to some other podcasts while I run. I enjoy that, but I've found myself more often than not, I've turned my headphones off. And I enjoy tuning into nature, especially if I'm not in town and I'm up in the mountains, because I often hear that little scatter of animals in the brush that I wouldn't have heard if I had something going on in my headphones. And I'm able to, you know, notice that and then look that direction and see something I wouldn't have been able to see. But I guess I vary. I'm a guy who just bounces between those things, between music, audiobooks, podcasts, and nothing. I don't know. I know you're pretty into music, right, Mel?
Most of the time I listen to music. When I go on a long run, I like to listen to kind of slow, relaxing music to kind of get me into this like zen mode, and I can just listen to this nice music while I'm in the pretty mountains. But sometimes, like Jacob said, it is really nice to just turn everything off and just listen to my feet, my breathing, the animals around me, the birds. Honestly, that's my favorite. The music is really helpful if I'm going to pound out some miles, if I know I'm going to be hitting some high intensity, if I'm going to be hitting some really hard hills. It's good to distract me from the pain. That's when I'll put my headphones in. But when it's just a nice long run where I know there's not going to be a lot of high intensity, I actually prefer to just turn it all off and just listen to nature.
Awesome. I didn't listen to music until I got the watch a year ago or so, you know, and so it's very much, all my long runs, all of my, you know, I do the 2 half marathons a week, I ran too much, so I got hurt. All of that time I was spending out running was, you know, no headphones, right? It was just out there and just my feet and whatever the surface was that I was hitting, and it felt awesome. So that's cool that you're running farther, so you have time to have music, no music. Hey, for this hour, I'm going to listen to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and, you know, exactly. Like, when you're running that long, it's honestly, it's a combo of all four for most of the time.
Hey, so you say you listen to audiobooks. Did you ever try that book on salt that I recommended a while back? Because that thing is amazing. 13 hours, and it was like, I couldn't put it down. It was an awesome audiobook. So
I didn't take you up. You're gonna have to
salt. It's the salt. History of salt. Yeah, oh, it's really pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, because you went through the world's history in college, and you went through the world's history in grade school, you know, through the lens of the governments that existed, right? And what happens if you go through history from the lens of a commodity that we've always used and always needed? And it is way cool to hear, you know, and read, you know, what is the history of that commodity and how has that shaped and impacted the world? Gandhi would never have done his march to the sea had it not been for salt, right? The Americas would not have been settled the way they were had it not been for salt. You would not have Tabasco sauce had it not been for a salt deposit. You know, like this guy did the research on all of these things, and it's like, holy cow, you know, like, and Utah would not have been settled the way it was and had the pioneers survive had it not been for the salt in the salt flats, because it was a generally salt deprived area, and it's such a scarce resource along the western bound trails that having access to salt meant the difference between life or death for some of the pioneers crossing. But that's not a history you find out about, you know, unless you look at it from salt's perspective. So it's kind of neat.
Wow, I all of a sudden have this passion for salt. Like, I feel like I need to get a t-shirt that says salt on it.
Yep. And if you Google it, you might find a movie from like 2010 or something like that that was kind of fun to watch too.
We should check that out.
But the movie had nothing to do with the food. It was, it was an action adventure spy thriller sort of movie. And I had fun watching. So I usually try to keep my episodes short, and we've been running this for about 30 minutes. You guys are awesome. So this is about half as long as you would get if you were listening to a regular episode over at, Trail to 100. And we definitely want to encourage the audience to tune into Trail 100, but not just tune in, but share it with somebody else that you know, somebody who's active, wanting to be active as the weather's getting better. This is a great podcast to listen to, great to listen to while you're active or getting you motivated to do so. Highly recommended. And you guys are great hosts. As we sign off, is there a space other than the podcast? Like, where can we find the podcast? Is there a way to get a hold of you guys on Twitter or some sort of social media that you want to share?
Yeah, we we have a Facebook page and an Instagram page. It's just called Trail to 100. That simple, look us up and it'll show picture of some running shoes and some rocks and have it up in big words. So Trail 100, you can message us on that, whether it be Facebook or Instagram. We're on pretty much any podcasting platform. We're on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. We're out there. So you can tune in on whatever podcasting platform you like to use, and give us a message on Facebook if you have any questions or if you want to hear something new about how our training's going.
Well, and thanks for sharing that. So one of the things that happens as podcasts get really popular is the hosts kind of close themselves off. They have to have some layer of insulation, and you guys aren't at that space yet. So this is a really great opportunity to have access to some very professionally done podcasting work, right? And some very great hosts that you guys can tap into here. So usually then my episodes, I say, thanks for joining. You can find Parking Thought on all the apps, but instead go to Trail 100 this time. And the other thing I'd like to share is that to remember, in a world where you can choose to be anything, well, why not choose to be grateful?